coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. What do we got coming up? Well, hey, segment one, we've got Inside Skip's Brain, and then we've got my comment on the news. Then after that, in segments two and three, we have got the owner and president of Crossbreed Holsters. Her name is Carol Craighead, and we're going to have a fantastic discussion with her all about holsters and her company. And then in segment four, of course, I'll tell you what I really think. All right, inside Skip's brain, the icky, sticky, gooey masses, the tunnels, the chasms, the canyons that make up my brain. What is going on? Well, as you know, this is Thanksgiving, so hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. We have a house full of house guests, family members. My daughter came over from Wisconsin with her husband and five children. And we're having a great time. Everyone has a cold, but that's okay. Colds come and go. It's part of living in Michigan, the Great White North. Hunting season is just about over. I can go ahead and shoot one more doe if I want, but I don't know. It's awful cold out there. I got up this morning, and I'm working away in front of the fireplace, which I kind of like. I like about the first month of winter, because everything slows down. It's nice and warm in front of the fireplace. I'm drinking hot cocoa, just doing some computer work, and my 8-year-old son comes down, and he says, "Dad, do you have time to play a game of Monopoly?" Now, I don't know about you, but I've never heard of a Monopoly game that, you know, goes very fast. Usually they're an hour, two, three, 4 hours long, but I figure, hey, how long could it take, right? He's 8 years old. I said, "Son, for you, I'll make time." So I made time. We're playing Monopoly. It was over in 45 minutes. That 8-year-old, he kicked my butt. I think he'll probably be a businessman when he grows up. I didn't sleep very well last night. It happens to me, I don't know, a couple times a month now. So I got up, about 5:45 or so. I usually don't get up that early. But I couldn't sleep. I knew better just to lay there because I'm just going to lay there. So I got up and I thought, well, I'll just work on my computer for a while, get some stuff done. And so I fire up my computer and it wants me to sign off and update before it restarts. And, you know, I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to work on the computer now. And it made me angry that I didn't have control over my own computer because it wouldn't let me just sign out and sign back on again. So I thought, well, I'll show it. I'll just turn it off. And I try to turn it off, and it says, you know, "Please do not turn off the computer." And I said, "Oh, screw you. This is my computer. I'll turn it off if I want. I'm trying to turn this computer off." And it would not turn off. And I'm thinking, what is going on? The computer is like rebelling against me. This is like a teenage computer or something. It won't do what I tell it to. And it took probably about a half an hour because it went ahead and it signed me off, and then it did all the updates that I didn't want it to do, and it did it without my permission. The whole time I'm thinking, what's it doing? What are these updates? I want to know what's going on in my computer. And I thought about it, and then it hit me. This computer is like the government. It's always doing something. Most of the time, you don't know what it is. It's not telling you, and it doesn't give you a choice as to whether or not you do it. And then if you try and argue, it says, "I'm doing this for your own good. You need this update." In reality, it's something nefarious. But hey, I got it updated, and it still works. You know, I remember a time when computers were not in every household. If I had my choice, If I could make computers go away right now, I would. Of course, that would be a very short segment to this show because that's how I record. But there's always a different way. Before we had computers, life was so much simpler and slower. But then people say, well, yeah, but, you know, computers have enhanced our life so much. You know, they think for us. They find cures to diseases and all this stuff. And yeah, they give us CAT scans, all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. Yeah, a lot of good things come from computers, but I miss the old days when things were just slow. And you could sit there, the phone wouldn't ring, the cell phone wouldn't vibrate, you wouldn't get a text message or an email. And you know what? It really wasn't all that long ago, was it? 20 years ago. 20 years ago, life was so much slower. I wish we could go back. Besides that, I could use an extra 20 years. I'd like to do that over again. Okay. Let's talk about the news now. What is in the news? Oh, here we are at BearingArms.com, one of my favorite places. Headline reads, Austin hero pulls gun on rapist. That's what I like to hear. Boy, right out of the box. A lot of people don't take their guns with them when they're doing certain things, particularly on a run. Actually, I do. That's why God made fanny packs. Gun goes in there really nice and don't have to wear belts or anything. Goes great with sweatpants. But I digress. After all, even a lightweight pistol is going to cause issues with your everyday running shorts. And no one wants to wear a fanny pack. Well, that's true. I don't want to, but I don't want to go without a gun either. Especially one loaded down with a firearm, right? Well, Josh Williams of Austin, Texas didn't worry about any of that. Eventually, anyway, and at least one area resident is thankful for that. Josh Williams has been licensed to carry a gun for about 10 years and takes his Glock 43 almost everywhere he goes. But on the morning of September 15, Williams almost didn't take the gun along for his weekly run on the hike and bike trail in Austin, Texas. That's where you're going to need it. But a voice inside him said he might need it. Did he ever? It was about 5:30 a.m. and still dark. 5:30 a.m. This guy has to be young, okay? He's got to be like 30 or under. Because at 5:30 a.m., running? No way. I don't even have a pulse. I would have a heart attack if I tried to run outside in the cold at 5:30 a.m. Boy, I used to do that. Oh, well. It was about 5:30 a.m. and still dark when Williams heard a woman's screams on the trail over his earbuds. Yeah, he shouldn't have been doing that. Don't stick earbuds in when you're running through a park out in public. You know, you can't hear people sneak up on you. Just bad security. So he took out his earbuds and pointed his flashlight in the direction of the screaming and quickly realized a woman was being sexually assaulted, the station said. Well, you know, there are some good things going on here. He took a flashlight and he took his gun. So, hey, he's getting points for that right now. I came up, pulled my gun, and told him to get off of her, adding that he ordered the man to get on his knees and show his hands. The man ran off, leaving him with the victim safe and sound. A few days later, 22-year-old Richard McEachern was arrested for the assault. He remains in the Travis County Jail. Well, hey, that's good. Hopefully he'll go on to prison, where he'll learn a little bit more about rape from a different perspective. Williams said that he'd never thought he would point the gun at another person, but that's how it goes. What matters is what you do when confronted with a situation that requires it. And Williams did what most of us would have done. He protected another. Well, you know what, folks? There are so many reasons for not carrying a gun. We can all come up with reasons for not carrying a gun. You know, I can come up with some right now. Clothing. Carrying a gun dictates what you wear. If you're carrying, you know, on your strong side carry, on your, you know, on your hip, you have to have a cover garment if you're going to carry concealed. So you either have to wear extra clothing or a long shirt or something like that. So it dictates what you wear. You know, that's a big factor when it's like 90 degrees in the summertime. And then it also dictates where you can and cannot go. You've got a lot of non-permissive zones there. You know, gun-free zones, criminal empowerment zones, whatever you want to call them. There are certain places you just can't take that gun. So if you're going to the post office or going to the school or, you know, wherever on a given day, the temptation is, you know what, I just won't take it. It's going to be too big of a hassle. It also dictates how you act. You know, when you strap on that firearm, you become the most polite person on the planet. And you know what? We should be the most polite people on the planet anyways, don't you think? I mean, it keeps us out of trouble. Keeps us in good with our neighbors and keeps us in good with God Almighty as well. So, that's a good thing. And what about just the plain discomfort of all of that added weight? I mean, you know, I'll be carrying a Smith & Wesson M&P full frame. So, you know, that's a big gun. You've got the weight of the gun. Then you've got 18 rounds of ammunition inside there, and that's extra weight. So it's just, it's a nuisance. It's a pain in the butt to carry a gun. But you know what? What would have happened if this Josh fella had not been carrying his gun? He couldn't have drawn it. He couldn't have pointed it. He couldn't have scared the crap out of the rapist and have him run off. He would have had to do something else. You know, maybe look for a stick while the guy's raping this woman. Or maybe take him on with his bare hands. Maybe he doesn't have any empty-handed skills. He could have died. The guy could have had a knife, could have had a club, whatever. Things could have ended differently. The woman could have been raped and killed. Josh could have been killed. So it's a good thing that he went ahead and tolerated the nuisance of carrying a gun. Because it is a nuisance, folks. It's not cool. It's not fun. But hey, you know what? I'm glad he did. And speaking of carrying a gun, in the next segment here, the next two segments, we are going to be interviewing Carol Craighead, owner and president of Crossbreed Holsters. And I have a Crossbreed holster. And I got to tell you, you know, if you're going to carry a gun, Crossbreed is a good way to go because they're very comfortable. They make a tough job not so tough. But we'll be speaking with Carol about, you know, some personal things and also some business. So you're going to learn some stuff. We got 2 minutes here. Go ahead and get yourself some hot cocoa. I mean, it's cold out there, unless you're in Florida. And if you're in Florida, I don't like you anymore. It's because I'm cold and I'm wet. But hey, have some hot cocoa. If you're in Florida, have some lemonade or one of those funny little drinks with ice and the little umbrella. Yeah, do that. That's what pansies do. Okay, we'll be back with Carol Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We have a special treat for you today. We are on the line with the owner and president of Crossbreed Holsters, Carol Craighead. Carol, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right, Carol, I have always admired Crossbreed Holsters. We have a couple of mutual friends. One would be Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. He is he's one of my authors. I also own White Feather Press, and Mark publishes his books with me. And boy, I usually stop by the Crossbreed Holsters booth at SHOT Show. So we may have met, and we just don't recognize that. So it's good to finally talk to you in person on the phone.
Well, thank you. And yeah, we probably have met, probably more than once. Truth be known, you see so many people at those shows, especially at SHOT Show, it's really hard. So it's very nice to meet you. You're right. We both know Mark. He's a fabulous guy. I truly, truly enjoy him. So, yeah.
And we also know Ken Blanchard, the Reverend Ken Blanchard. Ken's awesome guy as well. That I got the idea to interview you while I was listening to his new Speak Life podcast, which I really enjoy as well. So, Carol, I don't know you yet, but you have come highly recommended.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice to hear.
Okay.
I'm very honored, to be honest.
All right. Well, Carol, Crossbreed Holster. Well, first, before we jump right into that, tell the listeners about you as a person, whatever you feel comfortable talking about, and then we're going to transition into your company.
Me as a person, well, first, I've been here at Crossbreed as acting president since 2012. I am, like so many other ladies out there, a working mom. I have three children whom I absolutely adore, an amazing dog who comes to the shop every single day. I'm very passionate about Christ and my religion and my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as me, what I enjoy, of course, I love to shoot. I'm starting to getting into hunting, but that's kind of in its beginning stages, so I'm kind of excited about that. But other than that, I just pour my heart out to everything that I do here, my family, my friends.
Carol, it sounds like you and I have an awful lot in common, and we didn't even know about that. You have three kids. They're still at home? They're not grown up?
No, actually, I have one left at home. He's 14. Both my daughters are married and on their own now, but they live very close, and I'm very blessed that they both work here with me, so I get to see them every day. So it's a family-owned business in that they're still extremely very large part of it and are here continuing with Mark's legacy, essentially.
Well, I know you're probably only, maybe 29, 30 years old, but any grandkids yet?
Well, thank you. No grandkids yet. My oldest daughter is actually a senior in college this year. She graduates in May, and I know they're talking about it, but none on the way yet.
Well, you have that to look forward to then. I have three kids at home still. I have a six-year-old daughter, an eight-year-old son, and an 11-year-old son. But then this is not my first rodeo slash marriage. So I also have a 21-year-old son, a 23-year-old daughter, a 27-year-old daughter, and a 30-year-old son. And 10 grandkids and one more on the way. And that's why I sound tired all the time. It's just, it's very fun.
Lots to keep up with. I bet Christmas at your house is a lot of fun.
Christmas, it's like a very enjoyable bedlam. chaos. It's like just a wonderful chaos. And it leaves me exhausted, but very, very fulfilled. Already this morning, I love getting up early in the morning, you know, and then I do business, on my laptop at the computer, have some hot cocoa, and then I just wait for the kids to wake up. And the first one this morning was my 8-year-old Phoenix, and he came down, and he wanted to play Monopoly. And of course, I don't have time to play Monopoly. So I said, sure, I'd love to play Monopoly. So we played a game of Monopoly, a short game for about an hour. And, you know, I have long known and practiced that my primary job in life as a parent is to create positive, good memories for my kids, because they just leave so quickly, and you've already experienced that.
Yes, that is true, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, and I think that's what so many people do miss is those experiences. We're always so busy making a living and looking for their future that we forget about the present sometimes.
Yeah.
And for you, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, sometimes what's an hour out of your day, right, to sit and play that game, and that will touch him the rest of his life. So,
well,
yeah, I love that.
You know, Carol, it's hard to be, you know, an independent business owner. You know, I am, and so are you, because sometimes it feels like we don't own the business owns us.
So true. So true. That is absolutely true, because, you know, even when you're not physically there working, it's always on your mind. It's not like you clock out at 5 and go home and you don't worry about it till you clock back in at 8 the next morning. It's always there, and it's never ending.
Yeah. So how do you
very rewarding.
Yeah. Well, yes, definitely. How do you find the balance between work and family, Carol?
You know, for a while I didn't. You know, I think most people, or a lot of people, when they get in the midst of it and they're trying to really get a grasp on what they're doing, I think they lose sight of that. But, you know, I've just made it a point. You know, when I leave the house on Friday evenings, I don't check my emails. Anybody who really needs to get a hold of me knows how to get a hold of me. I've learned to lay it down and, you know, not pick it up. You know, when I'm sitting and having dinner with my son, well, you know, I don't answer any phone calls or check my email. I really, really try to take those times, those special moments, to make it special for them and know that's their time.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's a constant struggle. You know, it really pulls on you a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just finding and, you know, really making yourself take that time.
Yeah, I struggle with that all the time, you know, because I don't have one business. I've got like three businesses, and it takes all three in order for me to, you know, make a living for my family. But, you know, and I'm always, it's like a pendulum. I'll get too busy, and then my wife will say, honey, you need to spend some time with the kids. And then I'll swing back, and it just goes back and forth. And so, you know, my hat's off to you if you found that balance, because I've never really found the balance and maintained the balance, because I'm just always going back and forth and always being torn. But you know what, Carol? I don't think anyone gets to the end of their life and says, you know, gosh, I just wish I'd spent more time at work. I don't think that's ever the case. It's always family, isn't it?
It is. That's so true. And I think that's a good point. You know, in 5 years, when you look back, are you going to say, wow, if I would have spent more time, I could have grown it bigger, it could have been better. But no, you're going to say, wow, you know, my son is now out of the house and in college. I wish during those 5 years I would have taken just a little more time. You're
yeah.
right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, and it's easier said than done, unfortunately.
Oh.
But
it's such a struggle, and it never, ever stops. Carol, now, all right, I know that you are a devout Christian. You don't know me, but I am as well. That's, you know, when I get to the end of my life, I want God to meet me and say, okay, Skip, you know, I've been watching you, and, you know, you did a pretty good job. That's what I want, you know, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Tell me a little bit, if you don't mind, if it's too personal, let me know. But, you know, what is, in your mind, what is it like to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean?
Oh, wow. You know, it's so ingrained in me that I can't imagine even taking one breath out of my day without it, you know. It just means that I have that security. I have that peace. I have that joy and security that I have in the Lord, and knowing that He's always with me, that He'll never leave me or forsake me. And that gives me more comfort in a day, even with all the craziness of life and business, to know that I always have Him by my side, that I always can reach out to Him. I can always talk to Him, which is means more to me than anything else in life. You know, all the struggles and the cares and the worries that you have in life, when you learn to just kind of lay them at His feet, which is, again, easier said than done, but you lay them at His feet and you walk away from that knowing that He's got you, you know, mm-hmm. all the time. There's never a moment that He doesn't have you. I couldn't live. I wouldn't want to live without that feeling, without that knowledge. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, what's that verse, Psalm 46:1? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. For me, what that means is it doesn't matter how crazy the rest of the world gets or how crazy my life gets or how out of control I feel, because I don't have to be in control. And control is really an illusion more than anything else. I don't want to be in control. I want God to be in control of my life. That way I don't have to. And I can just kind of, I can take whatever comes because, hey, my best friend is the biggest guy in the universe. So, you know, and isn't it, that's nice. That's the one thing about Christianity. I mean, you've got all these different religions all over the world. But it's like Christianity is the only one where the creator of the universe is like, you know, your daddy and your very best friend. And that's just... that is so cool. I mean, we got that on everything else, and I just love that.
Okay, Carol, we are just about out of time now for this segment. But when we come back, we're going to talk some more about Crossbreed Holsters, your company, and other things that concealed carry holders want to hear about. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We got a two-minute break here. Check out our sponsors, Elite Firearms and Training out of Middleville, and then also Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com to find out more. Okay, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want to talk to you about keeping your kids safe around guns. I've never been a big fan of trigger locks, but I have to tell you, I have found a product called ChildSafe One. It's a trigger blocker, not a trigger lock, and it works fantastic. I tried it out on my kids, and they could not get the ChildSafe One off the training gun. I gave them 5 minutes. I sat there and I watched them, and they couldn't do it. Folks, I am satisfied, more than satisfied, that my kids are safe around ChildSafe One. Here's the good thing about it. I can get that lock off the gun in under 2 seconds, but my kids can't even figure out how it works. ChildSafe One is a win-win for everyone in the family. My wife's happy because she knows the guns are secure. My kids are happy because they're safe. And I'm happy because when the wolf comes a-knocking, I've got that gun cocked, locked, and ready to rock in less than 2 seconds. So go to globalgunsafety.com and get ChildSafe One today. That's globalgunsafety.com. Check it out now and tell them the Home Defense Show sent you.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Concealed Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel, and we are speaking with Carol Craighead, president and owner of Crossbreed Holsters.
Carol, okay, you said you've been president since 2012. What happened in 2012? Because there was a business before that, correct?
That is correct. Crossbreed was actually started in 2005 by my late husband, Mark Craighead. He built this company. He really made it what it is today. He developed the product and was here with us until the year August of 2012. He passed away that month. Due to unforeseen, unusual complications from very minor surgery. So we lost him. We lost our patriarch. He was our everything, and that was a very difficult day. And that was a very difficult decision to make on whether, you know, to continue on or, of course, you know, you had the option of selling or letting somebody else take over. But that just ultimately in the end, you know, I just couldn't let all this, everything that he'd worked so hard to do, just go away. So
yeah,
decided to step in and do the best that I could, and I hope that I've made him proud.
I'm sure you have. How involved were you in the company prior to Mark's passing?
That's the crazy part. I really was not that involved in the day-to-day activities of the company. You know, I'd come in and help out. I would fill in. I would do whatever they needed me to do. But, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, I quit work about 2.5 years before he passed away. And, you know, I became his sounding board at home. And I always tell married couples, you know, talk to each other, communicate, always take that time, because he would come home and we would talk for hours sometimes. And it would be about, you know, the business and what was going on. So when I did spin, I felt like I knew everything just simply because, you know, he had talked to me about it. He had told me about it, you know. So, you know, it was a difficult decision. It was a difficult time, you know, not only losing him, but also helping the kids get through everything. And, you know, the guys here on the floor, employees, they had a big loss on that day as well. And so we had to work through a lot of things in so many different aspects. But again, you know, just like we were talking about, I think, you know, with the help from our good Lord above, that's the only thing that got us through all of it.
Yeah. So what did you like the most about Mark?
Oh, my gosh. there's so many things I liked most about him. I loved his compassion. I loved that he was so compassionate about helping others and seeing the needs. And, you know, after I'd always known that about him, and, you know, he knew how to put other people first in life and to take care of them. But, you know, after he passed away, so many people called, wrote me letters and saying, you know, I just want to tell you that Mark helped me out so much. And it wasn't just, you know, financially, it was, you know, helping them, you know, establish their business or answer questions or a shoulder to cry on or whatever it may be. I was just really, really touched by the amount of people who came forward and said, he touched my life. And that would be the thing that I admired the most in him.
Well, I kind of feel at a loss because I didn't know him. Sounds like the kind of person that I that I like in my life. I mean, there are so many crazy people in the world these days, and when you let crazy people in your life gets crazy. But when you let someone into your life who is like-minded and full of kindness and compassion and loyalty, it's like your life gets really, really good, too. So I wish I could have known your husband. He sounds like a great guy. Now, the business now, are things going well in the holster industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're like most people in the industry. You know, this has been a little bit of a down year for so many people. But overall, I mean, I can't say that I would, you know, like to see 2016 numbers, but overall we're doing good. But overall, you know, it's picking back up. We're really starting to see a lot of holiday and Christmas orders coming in, and it's very encouraging. And so, yeah, it's good. It's good for us here.
Well, you'll be very happy to know that I'm wearing a Crossbreed inside the waistband holster right now. I've got my M&P shield inside that, and I'm carrying appendix carry right now. Whenever I appendix carry, I always use my Crossbreed holster because it's very, very comfortable. So I can certainly attest to your product. I think next I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to buy something for my full frame that I can carry, you know, back in about the 5 o'clock position. So what do you recommend for? I've got a Smith & Wesson M&P full frame in 9mm. I want to carry somewhere between 3 and 5 o'clock. Which holster should I buy?
I would definitely recommend the Super Tuck. That's kind of our flagship holster. We really haven't changed it at all since inception, or you know, and it's just tried and true. And it's truly a comfortable product, and I think it would work great. It's what it was designed for is exactly what you're talking about.
The Super Tuck. All right. Well, it sounds up to the job, anyways. I'll take a look at that on your website, Carol. I can certainly relate to the 2016 numbers that you were talking about. 2016, you know, no matter what else you say about President Barack Obama, that guy could sell guns and firearm accessories like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I just, you know, I like the new president now, and I like, you know, his pro-gun attitude and everything. But I got to tell you, you know, I teach concealed carry, and I have for about 17 years now here in Michigan. And the day after Donald Trump won the election, my phone stopped ringing. And it was bizarre because I had like over 1,000 students in 2016 leading up to the election. I think people were scared to death of Hillary Clinton. And then they just all of a sudden, oh, well, I don't have to worry about anything now. You know, Donald will take care of me. And I am starting to see numbers are creeping up now, so I'm glad you're seeing the same trend. Perhaps in the midterm elections, things will get even better for us. But anyways, I don't mean to monopolize the conversation. Carol, where do you see Crossbreed holsters going in the future? Is there any new products coming out? Anything the listeners would want to know?
Yeah, I mean, we really try to be on the forefront and listening to our customers and getting new products out there. We're working on a really big new project. I can't really say too much about it, but it's a whole new line that we're hoping to release either Q2 or Q3 of next year. So really start looking for that. As far as new holsters and products right now, we're really working on improving current models that we have and doing, you know, like little upgrades and so forth. Our J-hooks, that are a very popular add-on item for us. We just redid those a little bit to make them a little bit better, a little sturdier. So really we're just working on, you know, improving what we have, which is already great, but you know, you can always make things better. And then we're really, really working diligently on a new line to come out next year.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good year for us and everybody, hopefully, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Now, are all of your holsters inside the waistband?
No, we have outside the waistband holsters also.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Well, I think I'm going to check into to those as well. You know, what I've noticed, I think we have another friend, Rob Pincus. He's also yes. one of my authors. Rob likes to do, you know, appendix carry inside the waistband. But, you know, he's a skinny little guy. I'm not quite as skinny as Rob. So it's more difficult, especially appendix carry, you know, if you have to reach around the corner to get to your gun, if you know what I mean by that, a little bit of Dunlap disease. You know, once I lose 10 more pounds, you know, inside the waistband appendix carry is just going to be awesome for me. But I have a little bit of a Mountain Dew problem. It just keeps jumping down my throat and getting into my belly. I have to work on that. But, Carol, one other question here I wanted to ask you. All of your holsters come with a cross on them. Hypothetical question, devil's advocate question. A customer calls up and he says, listen, I'm an atheist. I love your holsters. They're fantastic. You know, I love crossbreed, all that stuff. But, you know, I just don't feel right about carrying, you know, a cross on my holster. I'd like a custom holster made without the cross. How would you deal with something like that?
And I understand where, you know, I mean, there's a lot of diversity out there, and I am not one to judge other people, so please don't hear that at all. But, you know, we send our product out like it is. It's who we are. It's in our logo. But what we do recommend is, you know, hey, look, our J-clips is a great option. You're going to get those without the cross. You know, there are options that you can add to your holster or change, you know, clips and so forth. So there's ways around it, but we do send all of our holsters out with our logo on it, and it does have the cross on it. Otherwise, you know, you would never even know who the holster was from.
Right.
But again, there are options, and usually when we tell people that, you know, let's just get the J-clips, you know, or whatever, and they're good with it, and they understand that's who we are and you know, essentially crossbreed, so...
Well, yeah, it's like they're asking you, I'd like you to stop being who you are.
Right.
Yeah, and take your logo off. I mean, no other company would do that. So, hey, yeah. I respect that. And, you know, for the most part, the firearms community, it's a small community, and it tends to be a very polite community, reasonable, rational. You know, so I can see where people would be reasonable about that, and that is good to know. But I want to thank you for just being steadfast and standing up for what you believe in, because that's a rare quality these days.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Carol, where can people go to find out more about crossbreed holsters?
Oh, the best place to go is our website. That would be www.crossbreedholsters.com. You can find us also on Facebook, Instagram, or you can call us at 888-732-5011.
Awesome. Now, Carol, am I going to get to meet you at SHOT Show this year?
Oh, I certainly hope so. We have a booth downstairs. I can't remember off the top of my head what our booth number is, but... Absolutely. Come find me. I would love to meet you.
All right. Fantastic. Well, you have a very blessed Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then I hope to meet you at SHOT Show this year or next year.
And same to you.
All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel. We've been speaking with Carol Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters. We've got a two-minute break here. Check out our sponsors now, Elite Firearms in Training and also firearmslegal.com. While we are away, just go online, check out crossbreedholsters.com, see what they have, and give them a try. It's an excellent product. All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Concealed Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us. Okay, folks, welcome back to segment 4 of the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. Last two segments were fantastic with Carol Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters. And I have to tell you, I just ordered another new holster from them. I got off the phone with her and then I went online and I checked it out. The Founders Series Appendix Carry Holster for my Smith & Wesson Shield. I've been carrying appendix with a different holster. It hits me wrong on my hip bone there, but this one has a special cant to it. It also has a history, too. Crossbreed Holsters developed the Founders Series to commemorate the legacy of our founder, Mark Craighead. And Carol and I talked about her husband, Mark. From the custom logo to the unique leather used in every Founders holster, the Founders Series is meant to give you the most comfortable carry of any crossbreed holster. And I am going to count on that. But I noticed that the holster that I'm using now, it's like their classic model. It has a reverse cant to it, and that just hits me wrong. So this one is straight up and down, and it has a smaller profile. So I think this is what I'm going to want to carry my shield with. And so Carol Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters, thank you very much for all the wonderful holsters that you produce. Okay, well, Thanksgiving was yesterday, and I ate a lot of food. Too much food. So I'm kind of stuffed today. But that's not going to stop me from cracking the dew. Here we go, folks. Wow. That sound just makes me emotionally erect. This is great. Oh, wow. Yeah. Ice cold. Ice cold chemicals. That's what I need. All right. Well, you know, Thanksgiving is a time of pilgrims, turkeys, all that stuff. I mean, you got to kill the turkey somehow, so you use a gun for that. And the pilgrims, it occurred to me, did the pilgrims have guns? Were they pacifist? What was going on with that? And so I looked it up, and it turns out that the pilgrims were not pacifist. They did have guns. I'm reading now from guns.com, which sounds like a pretty reputable source to me. The article is titled, Thanksgiving Leftovers, The Guns of the Pilgrims. In November 1620, after spending just over 65 days on the open ocean, the Mayflower dropped anchor off the shores of what we today call Massachusetts. Well, we call it Massachusetts, but it's also. Isn't that ironic? The pilgrims brought guns to Massachusetts in 1620, and now, almost four centuries later, guns are outlawed in Massachusetts. But I digress. On board, 130 passengers stood anxious to embark on adventures in a new and hostile world. Yeah, I think over half of them died the first year. They were all bound by a pact agreed upon on the ship to pursue a mutually fulfilling destiny once aground. What did this mean? It meant survive, plain and simple. Find food, establish shelter, clothe the cold, treat the sick, blaze paths, collect or make provisions, communicate with a native population, and to explore. And they did all these various things with guns in their hands. Hoorah! The very first likely held by John Alden, the ship's cooper, as he became the first expedition to set foot on what would be American soil. The arm he most certainly held was a short wheel-lock carbine, a piecemeal gun with an Italian-made barrel, and numerous small repairs to the stock, likely made on both sides of the pond. Today you can see this historic arm at the NRA's National Firearms Museum. Oh, I'd like to see that. It's important to note that this would have likely been one of the most expensive guns to make the voyage to Plymouth Plantation. Here's a rundown of what most of the early settlers would be carrying. Number one, and this surprised me, cannons. Of course they had cannons. However, historians aren't exactly sure how big they were or what exactly they did with them. In all probability, they used them to ward off potential threats or attacks. Second, blunderbuss. I've always liked that word, blunderbuss. Say that three times fast. Blunderbuss, blunderbuss, blunderbuss. The pilgrims were equipped with blunderbusses, an early form of a shotgun, but at the time they were really expensive, so it would have been difficult to buy a large number of them, and I don't think the pilgrims were that well financed. With their short barrel and devastating loads, they were great for hunting, but these muzzleloaders were often adapted for combat. They also used the innovative flintlock action. That's funny. I've never really thought of the flintlock as innovative or cutting edge, but I guess back then it was. The snaphaunce lock. Introduced in 1570, the snaphaunce was an early form of the flintlock. So the flintlock was an innovation over the snaphaunce. It used two main mechanisms and a rather complex system to set off the action. I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it's like way too many moving parts. I would not trust my life to that thing. And again, you can go to guns.com to find that. I just did a Google search on pilgrims and guns. When the trigger is pressed, it releases the hammer, which has the flint attached to the head, and then the flint will strike a rough side of the flash pan. The flash pan, which covers and keeps the powder dry, unless it's raining, then falls forward to allow sparks to drop into the pan. Hopefully, the mechanism would create a powerful enough reaction to ignite the gunpowder. And if it does it, okay, sorry, you're dead. You've just been shot by an Indian. The Michelet lock. Despite its Spanish name, the Michelet lock was actually used by lots of folks all over Europe, Northern Africa, and the Middle East. Only it garners its name because the Spanish military or Michelet trained and fought with the device regularly. It may have a different look to it, like the more elegant hammer, but the Michelet actually works similarly to the snaphaunce. Yeah, it looks very complicated. Matchlock muskets. Most of the settlers' personal weapons would have been matchlock muskets. Pistols were expensive, and this was truly the working man's arm back in 1620. The crude matchlock, meaning a match, is used to light gunpowder, first appeared around 1450 in Europe. They require an arduous amount of work dealing with raw powder and a burning piece of rope. To use one, a person must pour powder into the pan, use a stick to push a ball down the barrel, and ensure the match, the burning piece of rope, was still lit before firing. The rope attaches to the hammer, and then the hammer drops into the pan, igniting the powder. Although the ball would kill anything it hit, it also destroyed a significant amount of what it hit. The primitive matchlock was ultimately replaced with the flintlock. So, they probably would have had matchlock muskets. Problem is, if it was raining or wet, foggy. Jeez. And I know from personal experience, when I go hunting with my muzzleloader, even with inline ignition, which the Pilgrims would have looked at my deer gun, looked at that rifle and go, wow, that's just awesome. I mean, you can even use it in the rain. And of course, hey, I guess everything's relative, right? But the Pilgrims did have guns, and they used guns. It was just a part of everyday life on the frontier. When I look up gunpowder in Wikipedia, gunpowder, also known as black powder, to distinguish it from modern smokeless powder, is the earliest known chemical explosive. It consists of a mixture of sulfur, charcoal, and potassium nitrate. Potassium nitrate, that's also called saltpeter. I don't know if this is true, but when I was in the Marine Corps in boot camp, the rumor was that they put saltpeter in all of the food to lessen the amorous urges of all of their recruits. I don't know if that was true, you know, but I don't think they really needed that because, quite frankly, they worked us every waking hour. We did not have a second free to ourselves. And we were more concerned with just plain surviving than anything sexual, trust me on that. But again, I digress. The sulfur and the charcoal act as fuel, while the saltpeter is an oxidizer. Because of its incendiary properties and the amount of heating gas volume that it generates, gunpowder has been widely used as a propellant in firearms, rockets, fireworks, and as a blasting powder in quarrying, mining, and road building. Gunpowder was invented in 9th century China and spread throughout most parts of Eurasia by the end of 13th century. Wow. Yeah, nothing revolutionized warfare like gunpowder. That changed everything. Kind of made armor obsolete. I tell you folks, one of my favorite documentaries is called Monumental. It was done by Kirk Cameron. It's K-I-R-K Cameron. He was on one of those old sitcoms back in like the 70s or 80s. What was it, Growing Pains? But I think he's still short. And the guy didn't grow that much. He must only be about 5'8". But anyways, Monumental is just awesome. You can go on Netflix, Amazon, whatever, get the DVD. It will tell you the true story of the Pilgrims. Man, they went through a lot. I mean, over half of them died the first winter that they got there. The crossing over the Atlantic was just terrible. You know, if you go into public schools today, especially, you know, urban public schools, you study the Pilgrims and you'll think that they were like America's first racist. They were cruel to the Indians, you know, and all this stuff. But you know, that's not what I learned when I was in school. When I was in elementary school, that would have been like about 1962. So back then, people were still patriotic and the truth was still taught in public schools. Quite frankly, the Pilgrims didn't run over there and try and conquer the Indians and try and scalp them, you know, and wipe them out. That's not the way that it was. The Pilgrims, for the most part, were peace-loving. And most gun owners are like that. They just wanted to survive. They just came over to America because they wanted to worship their God in the way that they wanted to, and the King of England would not let them do that. In fact, he was putting people in prison and having people killed just for worshiping different than the way he wanted them to. So, Monumental by Kirk Cameron. Just do a search on that. You'll find it real simple. Well, I have very much enjoyed Thanksgiving this year. Had a great time with friends and with family, mostly family. But hey, now we're gearing up for Christmas, aren't we? And so I guess it's time to trade my Mountain Dew for eggnog. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Maybe once, we'll see. But next week, what are we going to have on the Home Defense Show next week? I have been trying to get a hold of the TSA, but they are not returning my phone calls. I'm not sure what that is all about. Even if I can't get a hold of someone from there, we're still going to talk about how to travel with your firearm. Most people think you can't do that, but hey, you can, and it's simple and it's easy. But if you do it wrong, you're going to prison. So I think that's important for us to talk about that. So we'll be doing that next week. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember God, family, country in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!